Animal Companions. This is Joyce, your volunteer broadcaster, welcoming you to this edition of Animal Companions, where we read about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Today I'll be starting a new book called Piglet, The Unexpected Story of a Deaf, Blind, Pink Puppy and His Family. The article is written by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. I'll also be reading some articles and some newsletters about the animals in our lives. We're going to start today's readings with Piglet by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. A most unexpected, very special guest. Thursday, June 7th, 2018, Anna Ware Jackson School, Plainville, Massachusetts. We're almost there, I announced with a small sigh of relief as I caught sight of the street sign that promised we were nearly at our destination. Almost there, I repeated a little louder, turning around from the passenger seat to reassure our canine population in the back, two of them buckled on the rear seat, and the littlest two each asleep in their own carriers on the floor, that as soon as we get there, everyone gets to go pee. Our two backseat passengers both pricked up their ears, each turning their heads in my direction with their version of dog smiles. From as far back as I can remember, probably as young as 5 or 6 years old, I've always talked, listened, and wondered about animals. That was around the same age that I realized with lasting certainty that when I grow up, I was going to become a veterinarian. For some, it's a profession. For me, it's a calling. The only thing I ever wanted to do. My husband glanced over to give me a skeptical look, as if to ask, didn't you say we were almost there about 15 minutes ago? After a beat, Warren, whom our three kids and I all think kind of looks like Will Ferrell if he wore glasses, only more athletic, shook his head and laughed, being the good sport that he almost always is. This was not how he hoped to spend a Thursday during one of the more demanding times of the year for his high-pressure job working at a major biopharmaceutical company. With a hopeful nod, I promised, you'll see, this will be fun. It's gonna be worth it. The 2.5-hour drive from our house in Westport, Connecticut, to Plainville, Massachusetts, to pay a surprise visit to the classroom of third graders had looked like an easy drive on our GPS. But we had hit a few traffic snarls, and the trek was now taking forever. The day itself had begun gloomily, with overcast skies, but the dogs don't change their routines just because there's bad weather. We still started the day as we always did, making sure that all 7 members of our dog pack were up and out to do their morning business, in 2 groups, and were fed and accounted for before we loaded up the van. Our morning routine is elaborate, though pretty well set. Everyone knows the drill. Unless the weather is irresistible, we don't do much to play in the morning, especially not on a day when some of us have to get on the road by 9 o'clock. On this particular day, once inside, everyone lined up to be fed, each in her own or his own self-proclaimed spot. After eating, the dogs waited at attention while I prepped food for my birds, each canine watching intently as I cut up the birdie veggies and pieces of cooked eggs. The little scrambled egg pockets that I use for dispensing pills to the different dogs who need them were, as usual, the featured delicacy of the morning. Moving faster than normal, after I fed Lukita, our blue parakeet, I ran up the stairs, cleaned the cages of the 3 rescued house sparrows, Sunny, Betty, and blind boy Willie, and filled their dishes with fresh food and water. Before it was time to leave, I let everyone out again, all the while talking to them and letting them know that the agenda for the day was on time. I'm always amazed at how much the dogs pay full attention to me when I'm talking, carefully listening for words that they recognize. On such hectic mornings as this, I do sometimes wonder whatever happened to our 2-dog Max, as in maximum rule. Somehow we make it work. The hardest part of this day has been reassuring the animals who weren't coming with us that we'd be back before too long. Each of our dog has a job, and one job that they all share is to support one another as I reminded Dean, Annie, and Gina. Dean is our handsome lab mix who loves car rides but also enjoys being a couch potato. Annie is our exceptionally sweet, shy, tan terrier mix, and Gina is our beautiful white Australian Shepherd Border Collie mix, who is deaf in one ear and has vision deficits, along with the separation anxiety when I'm not nearby. Each of the three watched me go with stoic resolve while Lukita, chirping away, put in his foreign-flavored 2 cents as I ran out the door into the morning mist. Once on the road, the clouds finally began to lift and the sun broke through by the time we exited the highway. We picked up speed briefly, but as soon as we made it to the local streets of Plainville, we hit a maze of stop signs, right turns, left turns, and wrong turns. Just when I started to get nervous that we might never arrive, we came around a corner and spotted the elementary school. "We're here," I announced as we pulled into the crowded parking lot and began to scout around for a vacant spot. A couple of tails began to wag. Susie, our gray terrier, the sweetest and most senior of our 7 dogs at 12 years old, shook herself into an alert position. She understood that it was time to go to work. Next to her, Evie, our 5-year-old vivacious white poodle terrier mix, also seemed to beam, craning her neck to look outside and confirm that I was telling the truth about our arrival. Before I'd gotten a chance to get the littlest one out of the carrier, I realized that there were other cars parking and excited-looking adults hurrying toward the entrance to the school, many of them dressed in some shade of pink. Pink? For a split second, I thought that was odd, maybe just coincidental. Was there something else happening at the school that day besides our planned surprise visit to the classroom of Tricia Frigo? As I glanced down at my own pink t-shirt, it occurred to me that the other adults in pink could be connected in some way to our arrival. Well, not our arrival, so much as that of a very special guest of honor. I heard Warren say from outside the van, where he was pulling out leashes and setting up the stroller, clearly having the same thoughts as me. From inside her carrier, Zoe, a 6-pound, 3-year-old chocolate Chihuahua Yorkie Maltese mix, let out an eager bark, which sounded close to, "Let me out! I want to play and be part of the action!" But last but not least, I opened up the carrier holding Tiny Piglet, who yawned and stretched, waking up from his beauty nap. With a gentle tap over his shoulder and back to let him know that it was time to go out and find a spot for peeing that there was to his liking. Never easy. I couldn't resist getting in a couple of kisses and snuggles. Even though I am keenly aware that he can't hear a word that I say to him, and though I know he will never be able to see me, I have always talked to him out loud and with gestures and expressions. In his own way, I am convinced he understands. Piggy Lee, I asked, using one of my umpteen nicknames for him. "Are you ready? Everyone's waiting." If a dog could shrug, that's exactly what Piglet did, with a kind of amazing confidence that made me imagine him saying, "Ready? I was born ready." And then, holding his leash as I set him on the ground alongside Zoe, we started to follow Warren, who was pushing the stroller and holding the leashes attached to Susie and Evie. We turned toward the main entrance, and I watched the 5.5-pound piglet, handsome in a striped collegiate kind of red, white, and blue t-shirt, pause, take a moment to compose himself, and then let loose with a twirly, wiggly dance. Unbelievable! He almost seemed to know he was a rock star and that he was the one who was starring the day. That he had come on a long car drive with 3 members of the inclusion pack, as we later dubbed it, with his human dog mom, me, and his favorite dad, to put smiles on the faces of children who had no idea that they were going to get more to meet him in person. Like everything else that had happened over the previous 15 months since the tiny 1-pound deafblind pink puppy had entered our lives, this entire outing had come about in the most unexpected of ways. After having Piglet for a very short time, I started posting videos and pictures of him on my Facebook page. Within a month, at the suggestion of friends and family, I created his own page and called it Piglet, the Deaf, Blind, Pink Puppy. One of my main goals was to get the word out about the importance of fostering, adopting, and caring for special needs animals, and about the little-known condition that had caused Piglet's disabilities. As a Chihuahua Dachshund mix, Piglet was the product of two dapple-colored, that means multicolored or splotchy, parents. Dapple-to-dapple breeding results in a 25% chance of the offspring being born double dapple, a mostly white color pattern linked to congenital ear and eye deficits that commonly result in partially or completely deaf and or blind puppies. To my surprise, the Piglet posts gained a lot of traction. There was something about him in his picture and videos that gave complete strangers the feeling of connection and license to express their emotions in a text. There were dozens of comments on one of the posts, and I took the time to read each and every one. I got to know many of Piglet's followers quite well. One comment by Tricia Fergo stood out, and I felt compelled to respond. Tricia writes, "The fact that Piglet is able to be successful in spite of his limitations is a testament to the patience and hard work of his human parents. Thank you for taking such good care of him and letting me see him and see that side of humanity rather than the side that he started life with. I can't wait to show Piglet videos to my third grade students so that they can see that he is an amazing dog and that he can accomplish lots of things no matter who or what stands in his way." Piglet, the deafblind pink, responds, "I can provide you with a personalized video for your students if you'd like." Tricia writes back, "I would love that." A short time later, in the fall of 2017, I created a PowerPoint presentation called The Story of Piglet, the Deaf Blind Pink Puppy, and posted it as a video on YouTube. So it was easily accessed by Tricia and eventually other teachers. I had no idea exactly what Tricia had planned until she reported the response in the video. Tricia: "They love him. We finished his story this week, and the students brainstormed about Piglet's mindset in overcoming challenges. Thank you. We love our little pink mascot." Soon after that, I received a photo from Tricia that showed me what her third grade students thought about Piglet and his mindset. On a large white poster with a photo of deafblind pink puppy in the middle of it and a caption at the top reading, "A Piglet mindset is dot, dot, dot," words and phrases suggested by students were printed in bright pink marker. Positive, friendly, proud, brave, trusting, optimistic, never giving up, hardworking, confident, unique, courageous, smart, strong, excited about everything, lovable, energetic, happy, learning new tricks, making the most of what you have, productive, keep trying, never stopping, following dreams. Their creativity inspired mine. Over the course of the school year, I created three more PowerPoint videos to illustrate specific examples of Piglet's positive attitude toward facing his challenges. The students and Ms. Frego would often send messages together with questions and comments about how Piglet had made a difference in their lives and how he was helping them believe that they could make a difference for others. She kept a basket in the classroom filled with handmade soft pink floppy Piglet ears on headbands that the children could wear to get into the Piglet state of mind. Parents loved the program. One mom reported that whenever her daughters were acting out, she'd overhear her asking herself, "What would Piglet do?" And that would calm her down long enough to come up with her own way to cope with whatever was bothering her. Tricia offered to let me share her lesson plans and aspects of her program on Piggy's page. That turned inspiring other teachers to introduce Piglet to their students. As daughter of a teacher, I was thrilled to honor my mother's passion and talent this way. We began to discuss the possibility of a visit to the classroom from Piglet and from me. As a backup plan, because schedules and logistics could always change the last minute, we settled on the idea of a Skype session. The closer we came to the end of the year, though, the more determined I was to make a live and in-person visit happen. Soon the elements for the surprise came together, along with the added idea of throwing a pink party to celebrate everything the students had learned from adopting a Piglet mindset. There would be pink balloons and pink refreshment, and all the students in the class would be encouraged to wear pink. Naturally, for the pink party, all the third graders could wear pink felt Piglet ears in solidarity with their tiny pink mascot. Trisha would inform her class that they were going to do a Skype call with Piglet for them to watch on the smart board, a projection screen, in order for them to include him in their party. We devised a plan for the students to be seated on the carpet in front of the smart board, waiting for us to appear on screen, so that we could discreetly enter from the back of the room and call out, "Surprise!" From the minute we approached the main entrance to the school, it was clear that every adult from the administration, teachers and staff, to parents and other special visitors was in on that surprise. With Piglet posed in a proud seated position in his stroller, lined with plenty of cozy blankets to make him comfortable, you would have thought that royalty had just arrived at the Jackson School in Plainville. A handful of parents and office staff were right there in the lobby and gathered around to have their own viewing, some of them snapping selfies with the little pink celebrity and with other dogs too. When I checked to see how Warren was enjoying himself so far, I could tell he was warming up to the experience, but nothing could have prepared us for what happened next when we were shown to the door of Mrs. Fragu's third grade classroom. There were parents and teachers standing all around the perimeter of the room, holding up their phones to capture the kids' reactions. And there was Trisha Frago, who was in the middle of announcing that the Skype call was about to start when she signaled to us to enter. Every adult in the room called out, "Surprise!" as Piglet rolled in, sitting up at attention in his chariot. While I pushed the stroller, the three dogs, Susie, Evie, and Zoe, bounded in with Warren in tow. The reaction was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before or since. Warren said it was as close to the first time the Beatles came to the Americas as anything he had experienced in his own life. Every single child and almost every adult in the room began to cry. I cried. Miss Frago wiped her tears. All the parents cried. Warren did his best to maintain composure, but he joined the tear fest as well. It was one of the most breathtaking, heartwarming, tear-jerking, and unexpected experiences that we had ever had. That is saying a lot because Warren and I have three children, now college age and starting their own real-world lives, who are each extraordinary in their own way and who have given us untold numbers of proud moments. As the visit went on, I felt a level of pride that could not be put into words. Throughout our time in the classroom, Piglet was calm and regal, demonstrating with poise and elegance all the things he could do. The Piglet Show, as we call our performance of tap signal tricks, was a smash hit. His three sister dogs, whom I would always prep by telling them, "You're going to be in the show today," really got into the scene. The children stayed seated in sheer amazement, barely making a sound so as not to miss anything. We began with the basics, demonstrating sit, which each dog would do one by one. I would say, "Zoe, sit," and she would. "Susie, sit," and "Evie, sit." Next I said, "Sit, Piglet," even though we all knew he couldn't hear me, but at the same time I tapped him lightly on his lower back, right above his tail. Piggy responded to this familiar tap signal with an impeccable sit, lifting his head from the cookie that he knew was coming. "Piglet can do just what the other dogs can do," one little boy explained. A chorus of agreement followed. We moved on to demonstrating wait and how I could call each dog to come to me by name. Susie, Zoe, and Evie. Piglet sat waiting until I offered his tap signal to come to me, a gentle swipe under his chin. He came right over to join the other three dogs in a sit, at which time each got their treats. Next, we did a brief Q&A. I could not have been more impressed by the thoughtfulness of the questions from the third graders. Hands shot up in the air, and each question showed a striking amount of empathy and the desire to know about what it was really like to be Piglet. All four dogs sat looking out at the children as though they were answering questions right along with me. After the Q&A, I sat in a chair with Piglet in my lap, wrapped in a blanket, and all the kids lined up so that they could come and meet him one by one. Each child had a story to share. "I have a blind dog, too. She just adopted a puppy from a shelter. He's very smart." One of the last children to approach us was a little boy with a blonde crew cut and a big smile. He put his hand on Piglet's head and then on his own. And I asked, "What are you doing?" And he said, "We have the same haircut." Toward the end of the amazing day, I thought of something our daughter Rachel had said the first time she met Piglet, when he was so much tinier and so anxiety-ridden and so very, very pink. We had gone to help her move from one apartment to another in New York City, and we had brought Piglet along, Rachel, brilliant and beautiful and formidably gifted as a pianist, who was getting ready to start a promising career in the field of investment banking, had lovingly taken tiny baby Piglet into her arms. She looked down at him, all snuggled in her coat, and then looked up and said, "I feel like I gave birth to him." I totally understood how she felt. Holding him and caring for him is unlike my feeling for any of my other dogs. It's not that I love him anymore. It's that I actually feel the tug of protectiveness and pride that I can only associate with motherhood. It's just an inexplicable, almost embarrassing emotion that he elicits. That was what I was feeling during the end of the year pinky party for Mrs. Fragu's third graders. It was a rite of passage for Piglet, the deaf, blind pink puppy. He had come so far, unexpectedly, and had touched so many lives in ways I would never have imagined. In those moments, I think about the day that he was born, a reminder to the world of how much we can accomplish by caring for our fellow beings, human and non-human, whether disabled or not, or simply an individual searching for a little extra consideration and kindness. There will always be too many abandoned and neglected animals in need of rescue or just overlooked and unwanted, but Piglet definitely came into our lives to teach us lessons. Just when you think you can't open your heart any more than you already have, something can happen to you, and you discover that you have more to give. And what you get from being open to the unexpected in animals and in humans is a greater gift than you can ever receive. There's a Buddhist saying most of us have heard at one point or another, that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. In my experiences and observations, certainly with musical training and in my educational and professional journey, that proverb has been right on the money. But with Piglet, the unexpected twist was that ours was the case of when the teacher is ready, the student will appear. Piglet, the deaf, blind, pink puppy, was that very student who showed up with such capacity to learn. He put me on notice. How did it happen? How did Piglet make his way into our lives, and how has he now getting ready to spark a global movement? The craziest part of the story is that, statistically speaking, it's a miracle that he even made it into our care alive. That's the story I decided to write the day in Plainville about a miracle puppy who dared to live. And that's the prologue to Piglet, the unexpected story of a deaf-blind pink puppy and his family, written by Melissa Shapiro, veterinarian. Next week, we'll start reading chapter one, called Meet the Shapiros. Our next reading is called Dogs Sniff Out Cancer, a Scent-Sational Breakthrough. In a groundbreaking venture, a group of gifted dogs in the UK is making waves by being the first to be trained to detect bowel cancer through scent. This innovative study, initiated by the Medical Detention Dogs Charity in 2024, involves teaching seven dogs to identify tumors by sniffing urine samples. The group includes Cocker Spaniels, Labradors, and a retriever, all of whom have shown significant progress in the initial phase of their training. These results are encouraging researchers as the dogs have demonstrated their ability to identify bowel cancer in urine. However, they will soon undergo a new phase of double-blind tests, aiming for 100% confirmation of their findings. The charity hopes these dogs will provide an accurate and faster early-stage bowel cancer detection method than the current human capabilities. This could lead to a healthier outcome and potentially save lives. In addition to bowel cancer, these dogs have been trained to detect a variety of conditions, including Parkinson's disease, Pseudomonas, COVID-19, Addison's disease, and heart conditions like postural orthostatic tachycardia symptoms, known as POTS. The charity has been investigating the odor of disease for 15 years, shared Gemma Bootlin, the head of communications at the charity in Milton Keynes. The bowel cancer study is new to us, but detection is not. The training process involves early scent training, where the dogs learn to identify diseases in urine samples. As the training progresses, the sample sizes decrease and the dogs learn to detect diseases even in samples from patients with other conditions. Sample pots from Hull University Teaching Hospitals are placed on interactive metal stands designed by the Open University. These stands feed dog data through a computer, logging every sniff, and the dogs signal their findings by standing still or sitting down. When they sniff the odor, they give a single signal, such as sitting or standing, to indicate the smell. If they identify a positive sample, which takes less than 10 seconds, they'll get lots of treats, cuddles, and affection. Gemma also emphasized the importance of bonding between the dogs and their trainers, ensuring the process is enjoyable. The moment we've got them smelling 1 milliliter of urine per pot, which, as you can imagine, is a minimal amount. The first important and most important thing is that we need to prove that they can smell the cancer from the samples. That method has been successfully applied to detect prostate and bladder cancer from urine samples. The talented dogs joined the charity at just 8 weeks old, coming from breeders or rescue organizations. Now they're starting to have puppies of their own. We've just welcomed our second ever litter of puppies from our dogs, so we're hoping to source more of them ourselves. This inspiring project is a testament to the incredible abilities of our canine companions and their potential to make a significant impact on human health. This article, Dogs Sniff Out Cancer, a Scentsational Breakthrough. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of Animal Companions for today. I do hope you've enjoyed the articles, and I invite you back again next time to hear more stories about the animals in our lives and how they affect us. Until then, this is Joyce Vesper for Animal Companions and for Sun Sounds of Arizona, a radio reading service. Thank you very much for listening. Be well. Be happy. Bye-bye.